Boeing confirms it. 2008 has slipped away for the Dreamliner. Mooney becomes the latest to announce a production cut. And two Mexican government officials are among the victims of a Learjet crash. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, November 6th, 2008. Boeing has confirmed what has been a foregone conclusion among industry observers. The Dreamliner's first flight is no longer a possibility in 2008. The Associated Press reports Boeing acknowledged on Tuesday the first test flight of its long-delayed 787 jetliner has been pushed off into next year by the 57-day strike by the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers. Company spokesman Jim Prulks declined a specific prediction. Quote, "The time frame for first flight has not been established and will be based on the strike recovery assessment," unquote. The strike was only the latest in a series of delays, most blamed on challenges integrating the work of outside contractors. The start of the test flight program has been officially delayed at least four times by Boeing, in September and October of 2007, then again in January and April of this year. Boeing still holds 900 orders for the Dreamliner. The first airline on the delivery schedule is Japan's All Nippon Airways, which says it still has an official date of August 2009. Boeing has promised both investors and customers specific updates once its recovery from the strike is assessed. The latest stop for the recession ferry is Kerrville, Texas. Mooney Aircraft has announced it will cut production as it tries to sell excess inventory into a slumping marketplace. The company says it has no immediate plans to lay off employees, but is not giving details on how many might see their hours cut, how much production will be reduced, or how much excess inventory exists. Mooney spokesman Dave Franson told the Express News, quote, "People are just not making the decision to buy, especially in this high-end part of the market. We're adjusting the rate at which we're building planes," unquote. Mooney's normal production has been running at about 100 planes a year. The production cut comes in a week which has already seen Grobe Aerospace enter full insolvency and Cessna and Hawker Beechcraft announce production and workforce cuts. The rush hour crash of a Learjet into a crowded Mexico City neighborhood Tuesday claimed the lives of all on board, including two prominent officials in the Mexican government. The Houston Chronicle reports Interior Minister Juan Camilo Moreno and former Assistant Attorney General José Luis Santiago Vasconcelos died along with six others. The plane departed the northern city of San Luis Potosi and was on approach to land at Mexico City International Airport. At least 40 people on the ground were injured in the affluent neighborhood where the plane went down, and officials say many more are still missing. Officials say there's no explanation for the crash, but they also say they found no reason to suspect foul play. Hawker Beechcraft reported lower sales and operating income during the 3 months ending September 28th compared to the same period in 2007, resulting primarily from a four-week strike in August by the International Association of Machinists. Net sales for the quarter were $783.3 million. That's down $87.7 million from a year earlier. Deliveries were significantly impacted by the strike, totaling 86 business and general aviation aircraft, down from 106 during the same quarter last year. The strike is no longer an issue, but the economy is. CEO Jim Schuster commented, quote, "We are also closely monitoring global economic conditions to assess the impact on our industry. Going forward, we will be proactive in responding to the evolving economic realities," unquote. The company announced production and staff cuts earlier this week. Emerging details of the Delta-Northwest merger agreement reveal that while employees will be getting generous stock positions in the new combined company, executives were much more generous to themselves. The Associated Press reports workers will get about 15% of all the shares in the new Delta. The company says the average worker making $40,000 will get stock worth about $6,000 before taxes, and they're free to sell them at any time after receipt. Holding them for a while might be smart given the suppressed prices for airline stocks right now, but it's not required. In contrast, Delta CEO Richard Anderson gets 760,000 restricted shares worth over $8 million based on Monday's closing stock price, and options on another 1.5 million shares at $7.99 apiece if he stays on the job through November of 2011. Delta President Ed Bastian gets restricted shares worth $5.3 million, and options that would currently be worth another $3.1 million if he hangs in for 3 years. Outgoing Northwest CEO Doug Steenland got 375,000 restricted retention units at a guaranteed value of $4.2 million back in April when the merger was first announced. When the shares dropped in value during the wait for regulatory and shareholder approval, Delta paid him another $450,000 to honor the guarantee. Delta spokeswoman Betsy Talton explained, quote, "Consistent with our compensation philosophy, stock grants to top management will be at risk and their value tied to the company's performance over time," unquote. Up next on ANN, yet another mid-air collision ends with no one hurt. Israel's CAA says a passenger changing seats brought down a Cessna 172. And Embraer celebrates a milestone in Japan. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-Cessna.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for November 6th. I'm Paul Plack. As rare as it is to report mid-air collisions with survivors, we find ourselves in the unusual position of telling you about the third one in as many weeks. The latest involves two de Havilland DHC-6 Twin Otters. One was carrying 12 passengers and crew when it collided with an Air Labrador cargo plane near the remote northern Labrador community of Natuashish on Tuesday morning. The Canadian press reports both aircraft were on approach to land, but other details aren't clear. Bob Halliday, spokesman for Innu Mikun Airlines, commented, quote, "It's very unusual for an airplane to be that close. Our pilots reacted promptly and made a safe and uneventful landing, and all the passengers deplaned safely," unquote. The Air Labrador plane also made a safe emergency landing. No one was injured. The Innu Mikun DHC-6 suffered slight damage to its right wing, but the Mounties said the Air Labrador plane escaped totally unscathed. Innu Mikun is conducting its own internal investigation. Canada's Transportation Safety Board says it has not determined yet whether it will conduct its own investigation. Natuashish is a remote community of about 680 people, accessible only by boat or plane. Officials with Israel's Civil Aviation Authority say a Cessna 172 crashed October 22nd after a loss of control caused by a passenger attempting to relocate from the aircraft's right seat to the back seat. Ynet News cites a report which states, in part, quote, "The investigation found that during the flight back to the Herzliya airfield, the passenger seated next to the pilot moved towards the back seat, inadvertently causing the plane's nose to go up. To compensate, the pilot pushed the steering rod forward, resulting in the passenger either tripping onto or accidentally shifting the right rod down." The CAA says the plane then entered a steep spiral to the right from about 1,000 feet above ground, and the pilot, Eliav Arbel, had little to no hope of regaining control. Three passengers also died. Embraer reports it received certification last month from the Japan Civil Aviation Bureau to operate the Embraer 170 jet in Japan. The launch customer in that market is Japan Airlines, which took delivery of an Embraer 170 last month. Embraer CEO Federico Fleury-Corrado called the certification an important milestone, especially considering the high standards and technical competence of the JCAB. Quote, "We already have two E-Jet customers in the country, and we anticipate good growth perspectives for our products over the coming years," unquote. Besides JAL, Suzuyo and Company Limited also acquired two Embraer 170s with purchase rights for another. Boeing has released its World Air Cargo Forecast 2008-2009 at the International Air Cargo Forum and Exhibition in Kuala Lumpur. Boeing says world air cargo will grow 5.8% annually over the next two decades, tripling by 2027. The company cites strong recoveries from previous economic downturns, such as the Asian economic crisis, the 9/11 attacks, and the SARS outbreak, and says the air cargo industry will also bounce back from current near-term market weakness and worldwide economic uncertainty. Jim Edgar, regional director for marketing for Boeing Commercial Airplanes and a contributor to the forecast, observed, quote, "History tells us that the air cargo market returns robustly when the economy strengthens. Air cargo remains crucial to globalization," unquote. Boeing predicts the world freighter fleet will nearly double from 1,950 to 3,890 over the 20 years covered by the study. Still ahead, WSI offers details on its new worldwide weather. Bert Rattan will speak at an upcoming NBAA seminar. And the election's end will change airline travel for the better. You're listening to Aero News.
Okay. Right up front, let me say that Garmin does not give tax advice. We have lawyers who cringe at the very thought of suggesting there might be tax advantages to buying a new Garmin avionics system this year.
Did he say tax advantages?
Could that be construed as tax advice, either express or implied?
Yeah, like I said, lawyers. So I guess I won't be telling you that this year Congress is offering special bonus depreciation up to 50% in year one for qualified business equipment placed in service during 2008. Business equipment like, say, a new Garmin avionics stack. But you didn't hear that from me, right?
What did he just say?
Okay, better check with your tax consultant for guidance and your Garmin dealer for the installation. Garmin. Follow the leader.
See your tax advisor for guidance.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, November 6th. I'm Paul Plack. WSI Corporation confirmed today at AOPA Expo it has been selected to provide enhanced international weather content for Avodyne's MLB 700 and MLX 770 data link receivers. For the MLB 700 broadcast data link receiver that uses the Sirius satellite network in the continental United States, WSI will be adding Canadian and Bahamian radar data to the satellite feed. For the MLX 770, global METARs, TAFs, lightning, winds, and temperatures aloft will be accessible, in addition to enhanced weather radar coverage on a regional basis, which now includes Europe and Australia. WSI is also developing version 5.1 of its in-flight display software, which will integrate the Avodyne MLX 770 service, incorporating worldwide geography, product selection, and communications channel management. WSI has a display in booth 737 at the AOPA Expo in San Jose, California, through Saturday. Avodyne's there, too. They're in booth 832. Aircraft designer, visionary, and aerospace pioneer Bert Rattan will be the keynote speaker at next year's NBAA Leadership Conference, themed Winds of Change. The conference is scheduled in New Orleans, February 18th and 19th. The event is hosted by NBAA's Corporate Aviation Management Committee, and promises 2 days of valuable management information and networking opportunities with the industry's most successful leaders. Rattan will share his personal success story and provide his predictions for the future of spaceflight, as well as the work he's doing today to inspire creativity and innovation within the aviation industry. Other presentations will include the Spencer Johnson Group of Who Moved My Cheese fame, Bridgeworks, an authority on maximizing employee potential, and Craig Zablocki, who uses humor and a lighter approach to leadership to encourage and inspire employees. Get more details at www.nbaa.org. Click Seminars and Forums on the left, then click on Leadership Conference on the list for February events. We told you about this next idea last year, and some of you thought it was a joke. Nope. USA Today reports the Transportation Security Administration plans to expand a program which allows airports to sell advertising at TSA checkpoints. It started with ads in bins at 14 airports, including LAX and Denver. To buy the ad rights, companies must provide the TSA with new equipment. The 18-month trial period netted $435,000 in new bins, carts, and other needs for the participating airports. The airports themselves also get a cut of the revenue. So far, the bulk of the advertising has been purchased by online shoe and apparel retailer Zappos.com. Other customers include Sylvania and Sony. And finally, getting past the election in the U.S. may have an immediate beneficial effect on airline travel. Business travelers of all political affiliations have been reporting an unusual amount of political conversation in the last few months, from airplane seatmates, fellow guests, diners, and even their own associates. Executive coach Barry Goldberg described his experience on a recent flight from Atlanta to New York. He says he was minding his own business reading the Financial Times when the guy in the next seat started in. Quote, the opening salvo was, oh, that pink paper. What's the matter? You can't read an American paper? Unquote. The Financial Times is printed on salmon-colored paper. Goldberg continued, quote, after the safety announcements, he said, you're one of those people who's going to vote for Obama, right? You're probably one of those people who thinks we ought to talk to Iran. This guy didn't give it up, unquote. Marketing company owner Lori Reedman is a frequent flyer who bears a passing resemblance to Alaska Governor Sarah Palin. Can you imagine? Christopher Federico, director of the Center for the Study of Political Psychology at the University of Minnesota, observes, quote, there's a lot of research to suggest that people behave in unique ways when there is anonymity, unquote. But you know what? Hasn't that always been the case on airliners? I'm just glad the election is over so we can get back to business as usual and the more traditional themes of unsolicited conversations from your seatmates. You know, like his pending divorce or her mother's bout with chronic irritable bowel syndrome. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the A&N special feature. Today, President Ed Bolin of the National Business Aviation Association joins me to talk about what he's doing in Utah, the significance of the election, and TSA's large aircraft security program. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.